From the LA Times Studios, I'm Sarah Rodman, and you are listening to The Real, your source for all things entertainment. I am here today with my esteemed colleagues for our discussion about the Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress categories. Introduce yourselves, folks.
I'm Justin Chang. I am a film critic for the LA Times.
I'm Glenn Whip. I cover the award season, the long, long award season for the LA Times.
I'm Amy Kaufman. I write about actors in Hollywood and movies.
And today, the actors in Hollywood and movies that we're talking about is the Oscars, still, because we love the Oscars. So we're going to talk about some actresses. We are going to talk about your nominees, Sally Hawkins for The Shape of Water.
She deaf?
Mute, sir. She can hear you.
You clean that lab, you get out.
Frances McDormand for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
The time it took you to get out here whining like a bitch, Willoughby. Some other poor girl's probably out there being butchered right now. But I'm glad you got your priorities straight. I'll say that for you.
Margot Robbie for I, Tonya.
How do I get a fair shot here? Because I'm up at 5 every morning working my ass off. Does someone want to just tell me to my face you're never going to give me the scores I deserve?
Saoirse, like Inertia. Ronan for Lady Bird.
I want to go where culture is, like
New
York.
How in the world did I raise such a
snob? Or at least Connecticut or New Hampshire, where writers live in the woods.
Get into those schools anyway.
Mom!
And Meryl Streep for The Post.
Do you have the papers?
Not yet.
Oh gosh, because you know the position that would put me in.
So, where shall we start? Shall we start with Saoirse?
I'm a fan of Saoirse. I love Saoirse because she's been around for so long. She's been acting since she was a wee babe. You guys probably remember her from Atonement. But I will admit, I kind of like her performance in Brooklyn better than in Lady Bird. And maybe that's because she is from Ireland and she was playing someone Irish in that movie. It felt really true to her nature. That being said, I love her in Lady Bird, but it's like, I know she's not an American teenager, so it just kind of sticks in my head. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, it's funny, although I feel the same way that you do roughly in that I wish she had won the Oscar for Brooklyn. And it should be said, this is her third nomination after Atonement in Brooklyn. What a career she has. I mean, she could be the next Meryl Streep if she keeps going at this rate. In some ways, it's funny. I like her performance in Brooklyn maybe a shade better too, but I love her in Lady Bird. And you could say that makes it all the more impressive. That she does, I think, effortlessly embody this part, even though it's certainly not who she is, in real life. But I really, really love her in this film. And I think that it again is that it feels very effortless. She is not, there is no, I think, real big Oscar-y scene in this movie. I could be wrong, but it feels really, it's not that it's low key, because I think she's definitely got a very strong kind of emotional arc in this movie, and she's, running all over the place, and it's a very active performance. She's in practically every minute of the film. I think she's great.
I also like her approach to award season. Like, I saw her at the Oscars luncheon. She's really relaxed. She doesn't have like a persona sort of, like, she just seems like she's somehow managed to grow up and be pretty normal. Maybe it's because she's been in like Dublin. She seems to have a pretty level-headed approach to everything, and that makes me like her more.
So, Amy, you got a chance to sit down with Saoirse and discuss her role in Lady Bird. Let's listen to a clip from that conversation.
Speaking of feeling comfortable, you are like so yourself in Lady Bird. You are just, a teenager. You're like really raw. Tell me about your approach to playing her that way.
I mean, it was great. The physicality of Lady Bird was very important to get right. And it was something that it was a discovery, and it took some time for us to figure out exactly. Well, I think we basically spent the whole shoot trying to figure out who this girl was, because we're finding her at this sort of in-between moment in her life where she doesn't know who she is. And so she's on that sort of journey to figure out where she's going and what she wants to say and where she wants to end up and things like that. And the great thing about playing someone like her is that she is actually like a showman. And so in one scene, she could be, the comedian. In the next scene, she's, crazy and secure. And the next scene, she's the best friend. And so it was great as an actor to just sort of like almost try on all these different characters from one moment to the next.
So does anybody think Saoirse has a shot at winning?
I don't think she's going to win the Oscar this year, but she's in Mary, Queen of Scots, which will be released next year, which is just the kind of movie that will probably maybe get her another nomination.
So she'll be back next year. Mary, is what
she's playing Mary, Queen of Scots.
With Margot
that
Robbie,
could
potentially.
Be the, oh, that's right. That could be her her Oscar-winning performance. So we'll see her next year.
She's going to have to get one of those career Oscars one day if she keeps going at this rate.
Yeah.
So she is the youngest nominee. Does that make Meryl Streep the opposite number here? And what do we think her odds are in this role?
Well, I think it's funny that Meryl Streep, who always gets nominated, was almost perceived as an underdog here. Like, I think people were actually fearing that she wouldn't get nominated for the first time in a really long time because The Post kind of disappointed and underperformed. And she is, of course, playing the Washington Post publisher Katherine Graham in Steven Spielberg's film. And it ended up getting two nominations for Best Picture and, of course, for Meryl Streep. So never, ever count her out, I think, is the lesson of that exercise. And the ironic thing is that I think she gives one of her best performances in some time. I think that, you know, there are a lot of people who would name the time that she was nominated and it was just kind of a gimme because she's Meryl Streep. But I actually think she does really tremendously subtle work in this movie. And also at the same time, she has these total like fist pumping moments when she's on the phone and just moments that absolutely just, you know, captivate a theater. So I'm really happy to see her in this race. I don't think she's, you know, she won recently a few years ago for The Iron Lady. And I think nobody's really talking about, oh, this is the one we need to give her a fourth Academy Award for. But I think she's really good.
So there wouldn't be a rip in the space-time continuum if Meryl Streep made a movie and she didn't get nominated for an Oscar.
We will wait and see. When that happens, I think that there might be some that theory might hold a little water.
We're going to have to run for cover when that time comes. So who do we think our front runner is here in terms of actually winning the award?
I mean, Frances McDormand won the Screen Actors Guild Award. She won the Golden Globe. And here she is in this role that is just kind of tailored to what she does very well, which is convey anger and outrage. And it seems just it was written for her. So it's no surprise that it plays to her strengths as an actress. And, you know, she won the Oscar for Fargo more than 20 years ago. So it's been a while since the Academy rewarded her. And as she said at the Screen Actors Guild Awards, you know, she in her acceptance speech is like, yeah, I come out of my hole every few years. And it kind of feels like, well, here's our chance to reward this woman that we respect and we love and we admire for her, you know, refusal to, you know, play any games, to take any BS. She's just really admired in this industry.
And there's very few people that can actually do that. I mean, usually playing the game is part of winning, right? So the fact that she is able to do that is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, she's given one interview that was New York Times Sunday Magazine, and I don't even think that was specific to this film, but it came out several months ago. That's the one interview she's given this entire award season.
She does what she wants. And shouldn't we all aspire to that? Now, so Meryl Streep was playing a real person. And then the other person in this category playing a real person is Margot Robbie. And this is a performance, even though some people, it feels like, are divided on the movie, that people are loving the performance itself.
Okay. I'll be the naysayer on that.
Okay.
No, I am not here for Margot Robbie as Tonya Harding. From the second that movie started, I was like, she's not Tonya Harding. And I know that a lot of people had issues with her look not looking, you know, exactly how Tonya did despite the elaborate makeup. I don't know. Her whole vibe, it wasn't – I get that she put a lot of effort into the performance. She was definitely doing something. It was a choice. It was just not a choice that I, as a Tonya Harding aficionado and a skating – amateur historian of sorts, could really buy into.
So this isn't you being like on Team Nancy.
Because you are from Boston. We do know that.
That's true. No. I'm not on Team Nancy or Team Tonya. I just don't think that Margot Robbie was anything like actual Tonya Harding.
I am not the skating aficionado that Amy is, but even I, you know, we all, I think, remember that chapter vividly, and I can't say either that I fully, fully felt at any moment that, yes, I'm watching Tonya Harding. And that's sometimes the pitfalls of biopics and biopic acting. I think it's a very high standard to reach. I mean, I think, you know, maybe some of us have less, you know, photographic memories of Winston Churchill, for example. So
or
Gary
Catherine
Oldman,
Grant.
A little, you know, or Catherine, you know, it's like these are sometimes easier performances to win Oscars for. So I think that her, I think Margot Robbie gives a really physically and emotionally vivid and engaging performance. I think she, I think it's a bad performance at all, but I also felt that what Amy kind of described.
I mean, it is like, I think it's, you know, for someone who I think we mostly first saw in Wolf of Wall Street as like this tantalizing, beautiful woman who people thought might be relegated to girlfriend roles. She's like, nuh-uh. Like, I'm producing stuff. I'm doing hardcore physical transformations. Like, this is her statement.
And so much emphasis was put on Margot's appearance. Let's hear her response when, Amy, you got to ask her about just that.
The judgment on looks is so intense. I mean, Margot, I remember when you got announced for I, Tonya, honestly, there was like a lot of headlines that said, Margot's too beautiful to play Tonya Harding, which is unfair to both of you.
It's crazy the way people remember her being the person holding a baseball bat, bashing someone's knee in the same way they remember her. They're like, Tonya, she's so ugly though. Nancy was so beautiful. And it's not the case. Like, first of all, they're athletes, not models. Shouldn't be about what they look like anyway. But everyone has this image that she was like this monster and she was like this angel. It wasn't fair on either women. But I remember I was looking at these photos. I was like, why do people keep commenting that she's unattractive? She's not. I'm looking at pictures where I think she looks great. And I'm confused.
But why are we even talking
about
that? That's like what everything comes down to, right?
I thought when I signed on to produce and play Tonya, that everyone would be like, how dare she? She's not American. No one said that. No one was like, why is an Australian playing her? Everyone was like, why is she playing? It was all about the looks. And I was like, oh, that's not what I was expecting everyone to be concerned with.
Wow.
Regardless of how you feel about Margot's looks, there's no denying that she put in the work to do this role.
Like, Sarah, you're always, but she put in the work. You're big on putting in the work. You know who put in the work is Sally Hawkins.
But that's what I was just,
Glenn, how did she put in the work?
That's what I was just about to say. It's not that I'm big on putting in the work. It's that they are big on sort of like transformations. And, you know, we were talking about makeup with Gary Oldman recently and like sort of the idea of making an effort and the difference between what Sally Hawkins and to some degree what Daniel Kaluuya were doing too, that it's smaller in showiness, but it might be more touching to your heart. And I was going to say Sally Hawkins being the opposite of that in this category, not putting in, I mean, obviously she put in the work, but not putting on a show necessarily.
The fact that she's playing a mute character, of course, you know, I mean that, but it's worth saying too. I mean, I love Sally Hawkins' performance in this film, but that sometimes could be interpreted as an Academy attention-grabbing gimmick too, playing a character who can't speak, for example. I think it's a very nicely understated performance, but that also is something for voters to latch onto in a weird way.
Yeah. I mean, she learned how to sign. She learned how to tap dance.
She slept with a fish monster.
Yes. I was going to leave that for you to bring up, as I knew you would. Thank you.
It just makes me so happy.
It is a beautifully understated performance, and it really does grab your heart. It's my favorite of the five.
Does it?
I have to say, I have been a fan of Sally Hawkins for ever since seeing her like in Mike Leigh's films like All or Nothing and in 2008, Happy Go Lucky, where she won every critics award in sight, including from the group that Glenn and I are in, the LA Film Critics Association. And she won a Golden Globe and she did not get nominated for an Oscar, scandalously. I just don't think she was well known enough at the time. And then she was nominated for Blue Jasmine in the supporting category. And now this, I think, is payback. I like her, you know, I like her more than Happy Go Lucky. If you haven't seen Happy Go Lucky, go see it. But I think it's really lovely that here's this British actress who was kind of not on anyone's radar at first. And then just by doing really great work over the years, she landed herself this terrific role in a Guillermo del Toro movie. And, you know, she absolutely deserves to be here.
All right. So now it is prediction time. I want you to go around and tell me who do you think will win and who would you like to see win?
I think that Frances McDormand will win. I just think that, as with the other three front runners in the acting categories, when you've won the Critics' Choice Award and the Golden Globe and the SAG Award, it's really hard to predict an upset. One could happen, of course, but I really think Frances McDormand is going to win. And if I had a vote, I would cast it for Saoirse Ronan, I think. Maybe slightly as makeup for Brooklyn, but I really do think she just gives kind of the least showy but the most emotionally rounded performance in this category.
It's hard to pick against Frances McDormand for the reasons I was talking about before. And again, hard to pick personally against Sally Hawkins for those reasons too.
Ms. Kaufman?
I trust our awards prognosticator, is that what he said? Mr. Whip on the Frances front. But I'm going to go with Justin for I wish little Saoirse would get the award, because I love a youngin' and she's really cute and that movie made me cry.
Yeah, I want to see like an animated character, Little Saoirse.
Little Saoirse.
Like she can have like her own cartoon series. All right, we are going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we are going to be talking about the supporting actress category.
Master storyteller Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water is an otherworldly fable set against the backdrop of Cold War-era America circa 1962. In the hidden high-security government laboratory where she works, lonely Eliza, played by Sally Hawkins, is trapped in a life of isolation. Eliza's life is changed forever when she and co-worker Zelda, played by Octavia Spencer, discover a secret, classified experiment. Richard Jenkins, Michael Shannon, Michael Stuhlbarg, and Doug Jones round out the all-star cast.
No one's ever called him a great mind, but even he manages to hit the can 7% of the time. Excuse us, sir.
No. That's all right. Go ahead.
You ladies seem to be chatting enjoyably. Girl talk, no doubt.
Pre-order The Shape of Water on iTunes Movies.
Let's jump right into the supporting actress nominees. And here they are. Mary J. Blige in Mudbound.
You just come back.
Oh, yeah.
You come all the way back. You?
I love you, Mom.
I love you too, baby.
Allison Janney in I, Tonya.
I didn't stay home making apple brown Bettys. No, I made you a champion, knowing you'd hate me for it. That's the sacrifice a mother makes.
Leslie Manville in Phantom Thread.
No, don't turn it on me. I don't want your cloud on my head.
Shut up, Sue.
You can shut right up. Don't pick a fight with me. You certainly won't come out alive.
Laurie Metcalf in Lady Bird.
You should just go to City College. You know, with your work ethic, just go to City College and then to jail and then back to City College. And then maybe you'd learn to pull yourself up and not expect everybody to do everything.
And Octavia Spencer in The Shape of Water.
You'd be grateful because you're an educated woman, but my Bruce, all he had going for him was animal magnetism back in the day. Hadn't worked in a while.
So we have a previous Academy Award winner in this category in Octavia Spencer, and a very well-liked movie. What do we think her chances are?
I liked her in The Shape of Water, I think, better than the Oscar-winning performance in The Help.
What? If
well,
you can see
I
her face right
help.
Now.
Maybe I didn't like The Help all that much.
You like The Shape of Water more than The Help.
Yes.
Bye.
You like The Help, period?
Wow. Like offensive on this, 92 levels. But I think Octavia, like, I've heard a lot of criticism that this is similar to some of her other roles. Do you guys agree with that?
Yes and no.
It falls in the friend zone, doesn't it? Yeah.
What does that mean?
I sort of understand where that criticism comes from, because you see Octavia Spencer playing this, you know, whether in The Help or in Hidden Figures or now in The Shape of Water, a determined member of a team. I think that this sort of goes to something I read in an interview with her once, where she's an ensemble player. She likes ensemble acting. She likes these kinds of projects. One would hope, I mean, I would love to see Octavia Spencer in a lead role that is completely different from...
With a love interest, please.
I mean, she did play one third of God in The Shack. So, you know, again, which is sort of a lead role, the lead role, you could say, but she was also kind of supporting.
Queue right now.
So, exactly. Go Google that.
Well, no, I watched it, so you don't have to. But I, at the same time, I think she's really good in The Shape of Water. And I think that it's a role that has some heft and dimension to it, where she actually has, you know, she's not just bolstering the Sally Hawkins character's quest, although, you know, along with Richard Jenkins, but, you know, she has scenes where, you know, with her husband and everything. So it's a substantial performance. It's not my favorite in the category, but I don't think anyone's displeased to see her here.
It's also a really strong comic performance, too. And we always complain about the Academy not taking comedy seriously. It's not strictly a comic performance, but there are a lot of great lines. And her timing, as always, is impeccable.
Who do we think is our front runner in this category?
Allison Janney, quite easily, I think. Again, for having won those same three key precursors, I think, especially the most important one being the Screen Actors Guild Award. She plays Tonya Harding's demon of a mother in I, Tonya, and it's a very arresting, very showy, very funny and quotable, profane performance. I think the Academy eats it up. And Allison Janney's a wonderful actress. As you said, Sarah, you know, years of just terrific work in films and in TV. So I think they're really happy about giving this to her. But it's interesting, though, where you have Laurie Metcalf, who's also, you know, everyone knows from Roseanne and among other things, too. She would be one of my picks if I had a ballot, I would say, because I think her work in Lady Bird is very nuanced, maybe too nuanced, I think.
Can you guys explain to me, like, what is up with the Academy being so obsessed with showy performances? Like, that just seems so obvious.
Absolutely.
You know, actors are the biggest branch of Oscar voters. And, yeah, you would think that they would go for more nuanced work. But time and time again, it's just the big, showy, scenery-chewing performances.
Like Mary J. Blige, who I'm looking at on the list, who, like, you know, literally stripped down wearing no makeup and, like, is just kind of being – it feels like the inside of her is showing in that performance. I mean, I'm glad she was honored for this because – her next Allison Janney is like some pretty – I mean, it's about as polar opposite as you can get.
Yeah, it really does feel that way in terms of just volume and presence. And I'm really glad that amid the sweeping ensemble of Mudbound, that Mary J. Blige's performance, which, again, yeah, has no quotable scenes, no big showy moment. I think her most heartbreaking moment in this movie and one of my favorite moments in a movie this year is when Jason Mitchell's character, her son – brings her a piece of chocolate and says, eat this, you know, and it's just beautiful. It's like, cause you know that she would give it to her family. And she's like, no, this is for you. And it's just tells you everything. Just her reaction to that tells you everything about who this woman is, this long suffering, sharecropper's wife in Jim Crow era South. I think it's a beautiful performance. I'm really glad that she was remembered for it. And, yeah, I think that she and Laurie Metcalf and I would say Leslie Manville for Phantom Thread also are kind of doing – they're playing a somewhat subtler game. I think also Leslie Manville, if we can move on to her, is the surprise in this category. And she's also my favorite in this category. But I was really glad that the Academy kind of remembered Phantom Thread and put her in there.
Yeah. Just speaking to the Janney coronation that we seem to be holding here – I think it's also a popularity thing. People love her. You talked about all the awards that she's won. It's an insane amount, especially on the Emmy side. And
so you think that stuff factors in, like, I agree. Well, when we're talking about Allison Janney, I'm like, oh, she's nice. And she was like, she's been on TV for so long. And then Mary J. Blige, I'm like, she changed herself from musician. Like, do you think that voters think about that?
Oh, definitely. It's in the back of their minds. With Janney, it's like, yeah, we get to give her an Oscar now. You know,
nominated previously, though. Wasn't she nominated for American Beauty? No.
You know, she actually wasn't, although she's great in that and in so many other things. But I think this is her first nomination.
It's her first, and it's Laurie Metcalf's first nomination, too. And that's another actress. She just won a Tony last year. Neither are wanting for awards.
Right, exactly. Nor is Mary J. Blige for that matter, but I want to back up to that one just for a second because the Academy certainly has a history of giving nominations to musicians who cross over. Diana Ross was nominated, Jennifer Hudson, people that have become famous in one lane. And sometimes it feels a little bit like, ooh, let's bring some of that shine over here. But in this case, it really does feel like an honest nomination. Does that seem accurate?
Yeah, I think so. It's like she's and, you know, she doesn't belt out a number in this movie or anything. It is absolutely the opposite. She disappeared. I mean, and I was one of those people when seeing Mudbound at Sundance and afterwards like, wait, that was Mary J. Blige. It was just, you know, that kind of effect that it had, which is its own kind of impressive, right, in a way. If someone can, you know, who has an established persona, is a gifted recording artist and can kind of make you forget that. I mean, that's its own kind of
Know she'd give a great speech. Maybe she'd break out.
She would
into
get really emotional. She would just like, yeah. Can we just vote based on who we think would give good speeches? Because at the Oscars nominees luncheon, they were giving these tips on the Oscars speeches, which, by the way, did you know you only have 45 seconds from the time your name is announced?
That's not
true. So when you get up on the stage,
that's what they say, but it's so not true.
Well, that's what they say,
right? That's what they say.
And I just feel like, you know, they tell people to be genuine and not think, you know, people endlessly or whatever. But once you're up there, you don't think of that. But those aren't the iconic moments we remember. Do you guys have a favorite Oscar acceptance speech?
I really did like when Matt and Ben were their first time and they were so excited.
Right.
And they were jumping up and down, or like Cuba Gooding Jr. Like the people that get really excited.
Exactly.
Like I love those people.
Where it seems
because
like,
then you're talking about the show, like you're putting on a show, but it's still honest to who you are.
Adrian Brody for me, for The Pianist.
That would not go over well in the Me Too era,
no,
my friend.
I know. And you know what? And I think it was still – and I know it didn't go over – you know, there were people who took issue with it even then.
I was one of them.
Absolutely. But, you know, the kiss aside, I think it was a really great speech and a deserved win.
Even if
his career has not quite borne that out, perhaps.
I was going to say, is there anyone on here who you think might go the way of an Adrian Brody? Like, who will just never be in a really acclaimed movie? Again,
we're picking on poor Adrian Brody.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, I
actually really like him.
He was so good in Son of Sam.
I think everyone is pretty established at this point. I don't know. the one I hope for in that respect is Laurie Metcalf, because I feel like a movie like Lady Bird, a role like that mom doesn't come around that often, and she knocked it out of the park.
Mm. And Amy, you had a chance to catch up with Laurie and ask her about her role in the film Lady Bird. Let's hear a little bit of that discussion.
How did you guys start to talk about the ups and downs of that teenage and mother relationship? Did you go back to your own experiences?
Well, I was living with a teenager.
Okay.
In my house at the time. And I sucked that dry also. Everything I could mine out of that. But it was all on the page in that beautiful script that Greta wrote. She had the nailed the mother-daughter head-to-head battles, you know. But then she also, we were talking about, laced it through with little drops of heart, mm-hmm. you know, and a tiny little moment here or there, like a Christmas morning where they're all just actually enjoying themselves and opening up some presents, and it's 30 seconds long. But those little things go a long way into helping you get through the rest of the time when all they're doing is triggering each other and being passive aggressive with each other. And I just trusted Greta that she knew that to throw in some of those soft moments to balance out all the battles.
So as a TV person, I have to say, knowing Laurie from Roseanne and from Getting On and so many great roles on television and her work on stage, I think this is really exciting for her because it can serve as a launching pad for her in film, especially since she's coming back on Roseanne. It would be nice if she was able to distinct.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whole original cast is back on Roseanne.
So is it a guest role or a?
No.
She's a regular
cast member.
That would be so iconic if she's like Oscar winner Laurie Metcalf on Roseanne again.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So on that note, please share with me, who do you think will win and who would you like to see win?
I think Allison Janney is going to win for all the reasons previously stated. But if I had to cast a vote, it'd be between the two LMs, Laurie Metcalf or Leslie Manville. And I think I would give it to Leslie Manville, who having just everything I said about Sally Hawkins in Happy-Go-Lucky, a Mike Leigh film, Leslie Manville is another one who's worked with Mike Leigh over the years and given fantastic performances, most of which have never ever been considered for an Oscar. So she really deserves this nomination. Every just shot of her staring icily in Phantom Thread, I think, is just a masterpiece of acting and composition. She should win.
I like that it sounds like you're actually trying to convince people. Hmm. But the voting's already done, right?
What's the point?
No, you can still vote.
Oh, excellent. So, good. Maybe you've just convinced somebody to go
hopefully.
The LM way. All right, Glenn.
You know, I covering the Emmys, too, I write this sentence all the time. You never bet against Alice and Janney. That's so true in the Emmys. And it's going to be true this year in the Oscars, too. You know, Laurie Metcalf had won a number of early critics prizes, and I'd still like to believe that there's some hope for her, and she would be my choice.
Yeah, I'm going to say Laurie Metcalf will win just because I want her to, and that would be my vote, because she really brought me back to that feeling of like, oh my God, Mom, I literally hate you. It made me dislike her in the movie, even though she's very nice in
life. I can picture you saying that.
Yes. So go, Laurie.
Hi, Mom. All right. Everyone, please tell us where we can find you on the interwebs.
You can follow me on Twitter at Justin C. Chang.
I'm on Twitter at Glenn Whip.
I am Amy K. in L.A., not Amy Kinlaw.
Amy K. in L.A. Thank you for joining us today. And be sure to download and subscribe to The Real on Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening platform. And while you're at it, go ahead and rate and review us. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, I'm Sarah Rodman.
To get these and many other award-nominated films, go to iTunes.com/Oscars.